don't know if people would think I was prejudiced or not when I said I enjoyed that special very much, but I did. This afternoon we have for our speaker Brother Barton. He needs no introduction to you, but I would ask for him your careful attention and your prayers for him this time, Brother Barton.
What Brother Jimmy says about the special, I'll just say amen. I wished I could preach a sermon as good as what they sing their songs. The disciples on one occasion sought the opportunity to take a look at the temple and show Jesus the fine things of the temple, and I suppose they were praising it quite highly. And Jesus said unto them, not one stone shall be left upon the other. Of course, that temple was the pride of the Hebrew people. And no doubt, those brethren hated to hear those words. Afterwards, they were met on Mount Olives, and Jesus, the disciples come to him and said, what shall be the sign when these things shall be? When this temple is going to be tore down, and not one stone upon another, and of thy coming and of the end of the earth. There now in the 24th chapter of Matthew, he tells them the various things that would take place, the signs of the times as we call them. And I want to read just one part of the third verse. Tell us, when shall these things be? Tell us. When shall these things be? Now, I hope to speak about some of the signs of the times, but just a little bit different than what's in the 24th chapter of Matthew. There are other signs of the times, too, that isn't enumerated here in the 24th chapter of Matthew. And those things are some of the things that I want to talk about now. I made out a little list here, I was going to say some months, I guess it's been 2 or 3 years ago. And the first thing I put on that list was the closing of the Gentile times as one of the signs of the times. The closing of the Gentile times. Jesus told the disciples that Jerusalem should be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It was a little over a year ago, in fact, the 5th and 6th day of June last year, for the first time since the children of Israel were taken captive, that is, people in Jerusalem were taken captive and taken to Rome and sold as slaves. For the first time, Jerusalem then came in under the jurisdiction of the Jewish people, of Israelitish people. For the first time in all those centuries. When that happened, then was fulfilled one of the signs of the time. Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Well, that no longer is one of the signs yet to be fulfilled, but I had it on the list. Then there's another. Now, I don't want to read all this 24th chapter of Matthew. It's you have heard it read over and over and over again, the signs of the times. But some people will say, well, we have had earthquakes, we have had fires, we have had smokes, we have had pestilence, and we have had all the things that enumerate there. But you mark my word, from here on, those, in fact, from the time of the close of the Gentile times, signs of the times as recorded in the 24th chapter of Matthew will increase in number and intensity. And with that, I think we'd better leave that and go on to the next one. Perhaps better read here from the 17th chapter, I think it is, of Matthew. Now, I'm not going to tell you just when all of these things are going to happen, but there are some of the things that's going to happen before the Master comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the disciples and the Lord had been up in the mount again, and when they come down, he was telling them some of the things. It was there that that three of them had the remarkable experience, and we don't know exactly what all was in that experience, but anyhow, they did have, and here is one thing that I want to read that he said to them, and what they said to him. And the disciples asked him, saying, "Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "Elias truly shall first come and restore all things." I want you to notice that that is future time from when he was speaking. Future time. Now he's saying that Elias truly shall first come, making it future, and restore all things. "But I say unto you, that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them." Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Then John the Baptist would come and restore all things. Is that correct? Then let's go back now to Malachi, and it's really the last thing in Malachi, the last two chapters. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Some people will say when that individual comes to do his work, oh, that's a repetition of autophetic. But regardless of that, here the scriptures predict and forecast that John the Baptist has a work yet to do, that he will restore all things. Now Jesus said that he truly shall come. But he had already come, and the people didn't know him, and it was John the Baptist. Now that will be another one of the signs of the times that we don't have in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Then again, let's turn to St. John, the 21st chapter, I believe it is. Yes, the 21st and the first verse. 21st verse. And Peter, turning about, seeing the disciples whom Jesus loved, following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus said unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is it to thee? Follow thou me. Now here was a man that was to tarry until Jesus would come. We haven't seen very much of that person. He's here on this earth somewhere. And there's a similar situation in the Book of Mormon. Instead of one, it was three. And we have a little bit more information along with that. And I want to read that, too. It is in the 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi, and we'll begin to read on the 37th verse. And now I, Mormon, make an end of speaking concerning these things for a time. Behold, I was about to write the names of those who were never to taste of death, but the Lord forbid. Therefore I write them not, for they are hid from the world. And behold, I have seen them, and they have ministered unto me. And behold, they will be among the Gentiles, and the Gentiles knoweth them not. And they will also be among the Jews, and the Jews shall know them not. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord sees fit in his wisdom, that they shall minister unto the scattered tribes of Israel and unto all nations, kindred, tongue, and people, and shall bring out of them unto Jesus many souls, for their desires may be fulfilled, and also because of the convincing power of God which is in them. You know, when Jesus was with the 12 at Jerusalem, he asked them what they wanted, and they wanted to come to him when their time had come. And yet he gave the same opportunity and promise to the Nephites over here. Now there were three of them. They wanted to tarry, and they wanted to bring souls to Christ. I've sometimes thought, well, I wonder why we haven't seen them in our midst. Wonder why they don't come here to our reunion and stand here behind this desk and proclaim the word. Wouldn't I love to take a seat down there and listen to them? And wouldn't you? It'd be a glorious thing. The days are coming when they will do that very thing. And when they do, this will be another fulfillment of the signs of the times. Now, we'll turn to page 158 in the Book of Mormon. We have some more here that's going to be fulfilled that speaks of. We'll begin on page 157 and the 65th verse. For I command all men, both of the east and in the west, and north and the south, and in the isles of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to his works, according to that which is written. For behold, I speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it, and I shall speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it, and I shall speak unto other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it, and I shall also speak unto the nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews, and the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. We have the Bible, we have the Nephite record, but we do not have the record of the 10 lost tribes. And that, so Nephi says, is yet to come forth. It's another one of those signs of the times. Now then, when Jesus was here with the Nephites, he commanded them to write that which he should speak. And he told them that these things shall come forth. When these things come forth, I think I've got it right here, we'll read. I command you that ye shall write these sayings after I am gone, that if it so be that my people at Jerusalem, they who have seen me and been with me in my ministry, do not ask the Father in my name, that they may receive a knowledge of you by the Holy Ghost, and also of the other tribes whom they know not of, that these sayings which ye shall write shall be kept and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles, that through the fullness of the Gentiles, notice there it speaks of a time, fullness of the Gentiles, the remnant of their seed shall be scattered forth upon the face of the earth because of their unbelief, may be brought in or may be brought to a knowledge of me their Redeemer. And then I will gather them four quarters and so forth. That is the gathering of the Jews and the house of Israel. Now then, you'll notice that he says that these things that he spake to them. And over here, just a little bit farther, Mormon says that he didn't write a hundredth part of these things that Jesus said and done. But yet he says that these things that he spake would come forth. So I reason that there are yet some of the words of Jesus that must come forth. And it says, I believe I can find it right away. I'll read some more. Behold, because of their belief in me, that is the Gentiles, saith the Father, and behold, because of the unbelief of you, O house of Israel, in the latter days shall the truth come unto the Gentiles, that the fullness of these things shall be made known to them. The fullness of these things. What thing? What he was saying to them. Shall be made known to the Gentiles. And it was to come in the fullness of the Gentiles. So I reasoned this away with that. It can't be too long until some more of the words of Jesus will come yet to the Gentiles. Although the time of the Gentiles is practically fulfilled now, those things will yet come forth. Now then, in order that you might know what we're talking about there, about only a part of the things that Jesus said and so on, is in the Book of Mormon. Mormon said that he was commanded not to write them, to withhold them, but that they were had on the plates of Nephi. So in due time, they will come forth. And I can't believe that it'll be too long. Now, here's another. This might be a controversial subject, but we'll just leave it stand on its own merits. We'll read what's here. You can consider it. But I can't help but believe that something else is going to happen before too long. And when these things come to pass, that thy seed shall begin to know these things, it shall be a sign unto them, that they may know that the work of the Father hath already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenant which he hath made unto the people who are of the house of Israel. Now then, he's already begun to gather back to Jerusalem, the house of Israel. He's already fulfilled some of the promises made to the house of Israel over here, or the Indians, and says when these things take place, you'll know that the promise of the Father that's made to the house of Israel is going to be fulfilled. And when that day shall come, it shall come to pass that kings shall shut their mouths, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. What is it that they don't know? The gospel. But when that, but here, the gospel will go to them, and the kings of the earth will be astonished at it. For in that day for my sake shall the Father work a work which shall be a great and marvelous work among them, and there shall be among them who will not believe it, although a man shall declare it unto them, for behold, the life of my servant shall be in my hands, therefore they shall not hurt him, although he shall be marred because of them, yet will I heal him, and I will show unto them that my wisdom is greater than the cunning of the devil. Therefore it shall come to pass that whosoever will not believe in my words, who am Jesus Christ, whom the Father shall cause him to bring forth unto the Gentiles, shall give unto him power that he shall bring them forth unto the Gentiles, and it shall be done even as Moses said, they shall be cut off from among the people who are not of the covenant. Those that don't believe now. So you see, there's going to be some disbelievers when these things begin to, when these things take place. Now that is usually referred to as the marred servant. Some people seem to think that'll be Christ himself. Others think that it will be this man or that man. Regardless of who it is, it has not been yet today. Because that man would be healed, and they would not be successful in destroying his life. Now, there's another scripture here, and it might have to do with the Church of Christ. And that's found in Daniel, the 8th chapter. And it's referred to as the cleansing of the sanctuary. Tell a part of this and you'll remember it, so we won't have to read so much. Daniel had a vision. It's known as the vision of the ram and the he-goat. They had a fight. And the goat came from the west with great fury. And he hit the ram, and he broke off the horns. Now this ram had two horns. One stuck up a little higher than the other. But they were broken. And in the interpretation of this, it tells it here, that in the interpretation, that was the, represented the Medes and Persian Empire. And the kings of those two great nations were combined and made one great nation. One was a little stronger than the other and had a larger horn. Now then, when this he-goat came from the west, which was Alexander the Great with his great army, he met the Medes and Persians once, and then he came closer to Jerusalem and met them the second time. And when he had met them there, he defeated them the second time. And then he left part of his army at this place, and another part, he marched down through Palestine, through Jerusalem. He robbed the temple, took everything that he could get, went over into Egypt, and established the city of Alexandria. And then he came back, and while he was gone, his generals was training his army still more so that they could have a final and decisive battle with the Medes and Persians. And then they went on after that. But now here, that was 333 B.C. And with that, then perhaps we can go on a little bit further. I'll read just a little here, and then I'll skip some. And out of one of them, no. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and the stars of the ground. And that is the stars that would be the children of Israel, some of their leaders, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down, and an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression and so forth. And then, and he cast the truth down to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And I heard one saint speaking to another saint, and said unto the certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And it came to pass, when I, even Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning, then behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. And he went on and told him relative to that, which is in short is this, that from the time that that would happen, there'd be 2,300 days, which would be 2,300 years, and you calculate that, and it brings you to 1967. Now, there's some people that used to calculate that from the first battle that King Alexander had against the Medes and the Persians. But that was not the battle, that was not the time when they would cast down the Israelite people. That wasn't the time when they would rob the temple. But it was in 333 B.C. when Alexander went down through Palestine and did his meanness through there. And now calculating from that time until now, it brings us to last year, 1967. And there's some people that will calculate those dates as that being a central date, and taking 7 years, 3.5 years before and 3.5 years after, would be the time of the cleansing of the sanctuary. And the sanctuary, no doubt, would be the Church of Christ, because anciently they had the sanctuary was a place where they offered their sacrifices and so forth for the sins of the people and so forth. But we have today, just like you saw here this morning, the partaking of the sacrament that takes care of those things. So, you see, it would be the Church of Christ that would be cleansed and purified, as Daniel was speaking about there. So it must be quite an important proposition that is in the process of taking place. No doubt will be before too long. Let us hurry along. Now I want to speak about another sign of the time. And that is the building of the temple. You know, some people don't believe in the building of the temple today. But I can't conceive of the idea of anybody belonging to the Church of Christ and disbelieve in the building of the temple. We have no excuse to own the temple lot if we don't believe in the building of the temple. Why should we hold it? Why should we keep it if we don't believe it? Now, I want to read from the Doctrine and Covenants. Oh, says one person, we can't take anything out of the Doctrine and Covenants. We are committed to the revelation that was in the 1835 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants that is not changed. Back in 1918, 2021, the Church approved of those revelations as they were originally given. That's what it in my words. But it says, as they appear in the evening and morning star and the Book of Commandments, that we accept them as that. So when they say that we don't believe in any of the revelations of Joseph Smith, you tell them that we are committed to those revelations as they were originally given in the 1835 edition of the Doctrine and Covenants, if they were not changed. Some of them changed in that even. they were in the Evening and Morning Star and in the Book of Commandments, they are accepted in the Church of Christ. Now, I want to read the 83rd section, or part of the 83rd section of the Doctrine and Covenants. And I don't know where you'd get any information or anything that would establish a belief. Well, there is concerning establishment of Zion, the building of the temple, and so forth, in the Book of Enoch. And perhaps we better read that. Because there's some people that's trying to say that there will be no temple. And reason and argue that there won't. Now I'll read this. A revelation of Jesus Christ unto his servant Joseph Smith, Jr., and six elders, as they were united their hearts and lifted their voices on high, yea, the word of the Lord concerning his church established in these last days for the restoration of his people, as he has spoken by the mouth of his prophets, and for the gathering of his saints, notice this, for the gathering of his saints to stand upon Mount Zion, which shall be the city New Jerusalem, which city shall be built, beginning at the temple lot, which is appointed by the finger of the Lord. Now I am told that when those six men met there, that they saw the finger of the Lord point out that northeast corner where the temple is to be built. And that's what it meant, and that's what it means here. Beginning the temple lot, which is appointed by the finger of the Lord, and the western boundary of the state of Missouri, and dedicated by the hand of Joseph Smith and others, with whom the Lord was well pleased. Verily, this is the word of the Lord. The city of New Jerusalem shall be built by the gathering of saints, beginning at this place, even the place of the temple, which temple shall be reared in this generation, for verily this generation shall not all pass away, and the house shall be built in the Lord, and the cloud shall rest upon it, which cloud shall be the glory of the Lord, and which shall fill the house, and so on. As I say, when that temple is built, that will be another sign of the time. And when his people begin to gather in righteousness and be placed upon that country, in that country, there in Jackson County, that will be another sign. There is a certain amount of gathering there now, yes. But there will be a time come when the Lord will move in a mighty manner to establish his people in that particular part. And now I want to read a little more from the Book of Mormon. And I think it's on page 40. And when I read this, I want you to try to visualize some of it. And it came to pass that when the angel spake these words, he said unto me, remember thou the covenant of the Father unto the house of Israel? And I said unto him, yea. And it came to pass, and he said unto me, look, and behold, the great abominable church, which is the mother of abomination, whose foundation is the devil. And he said unto me, behold, there are saved two churches only. Now the time is coming when there's just going to be those two churches. And when it is, that'll be another sign of the time. The one is the church of the Lamb of God, and the other is the church of the devil. Wherefore, whoso belongeth not to the church of the Lamb of God belongeth to that great church, which is the mother of abomination. And she is the whore of all the earth. And it came to pass that I looked, and behold, the whore of all the earth sat upon many waters, and she had dominion over all the earth, among all nations, kindred, tongues, and people. And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and abomination of the whore whom I saw upon many waters. Now I want you to just this, that you have seen, and we don't need to bring your newspaper clippings and read them to you. You hear it in the, over the radio. You see it in the newspapers. Every little bit where the churches are uniting. And they're making preparation whereby that all Christendom can be united. And then, not only that, when I picked up a little track here, and it's written by one of the head men of the Buddhist Church. And they're looking for it, and they're saying, why not? It's the all people. There's only one great God. And so forth is their reason. And then why not us all be united? And so it will be that they'll take in all of the whole world. And then, just then, and the little church of Christ. Let me read a little more. Nevertheless, I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, where the saints of God were upon all the face of the earth, and their dominion upon the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of that great horde whom I saw. And it came to pass that I beheld that the great number of abominations did gather together in multitudes upon the face of the earth among all nations. Now think of this, among all nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God, and it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb, and upon the covenant of people who were scattered upon the face of the earth, and they were armed with righteousness, with great power of God in great glory. And that is how that they'll be successful in no other way, is by that great power that they'll possessed because of their righteousness. We have got to come to that. Remember, there'll just be those two great churches, and when that great persecution starts in, just remember that another one of the signs of the times, signs of what shall proceed immediately before the coming of the Master. Now, in chapter 24 of Matthew, and the 14th verse, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness. Then shall the end come." That's the most definite statement in all Scripture relative to when Jesus will come. And this gospel of the kingdom, this gospel, when it's preached to all nations, kindred, tongue, and people, then the end's going to come. Then's when you'll see him come in the clouds and so forth. Well, we could go on here and tell you about the millennium and the second coming for but I think that that would be sufficient. Our time, what are we supposed to be? Four? Well, I guess we've put it occupied our time. Now then, I have brought to you some more of the signs of the times that you don't find in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Some of them, yes, I referred to the 24th chapter. But these things that I have called your attention to will take place, one thing after another. We saw, as I said, I have on this list, the first thing was the close of the Gentile time, which happened a little over a year ago. And now, so many people say, well, what happened? Well, no, the world didn't come to an end right then, but that's one of the signs. That's one of the things that will precede his coming. Now then, his disciples said to him, "What will be the sign of thy coming
be a song, sir.